of the cosmos, of eternity and time. Child of God, lover of the unloved, Prince of Peace. Breath of all that lives, of people near and far, of animal and air. Maker, Spirit, Son, God of a beautiful and yet broken world. Friends, because God dwells in you, and because God pours God's love and grace, forgiveness and welcome, sunshine and rain on us all without condition, let us greet one another with a sign of peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Friends, welcome to Old South Church, a house of God for all people. And we do mean all people. If for any reason upon hearing these words you think, well, he can't possibly mean me, we specifically mean you. Because here Christ is the host and welcomes us all. This is no idle phrase here at Old South Church, where for nearly 350 years this community has sought to understand the ways that changes in each generation as we walk together in the ways of a God who is still speaking. At the aisle end of each pew, you'll find one of these. It's a pew pad. We invite each person here to sign their name and to pass it along the pew and to look at it and see who your neighbor is. Will you do that? This morning, we also welcome our brand new children's choir director, Linda O'Donnell. Linda, will you stand? Linda brings a vast range of expertise in children's music education. The introduction of a children's choir grows out of your recent vision work. The children's choir meets Sunday mornings from 10:15 to 10:45 on the fourth floor tower room. This is open to all elementary school children beginning in grade one. A variety of repertoires prepared for children's participation in Old South worship services. Please tell your friends with elementary age children who might be interested in joining. In your bulletin on the green sheet, there are a variety of Old South activities this week, including the South of Boston potluck this afternoon at 5 p.m. at the home of Bill and Marilyn Adams in Quincy. Note the geographic designations on your name tags. If it reads South of Boston, this means you. Jazz worship on Thursday evenings at 6, hymn festival next Sunday, Harry House spine-chilling organ concert on October 29th, Bible study, theological discussions, young adult group, volunteer efforts to feed the hungry. There's a lot going on. And this morning we have sort of a rare opportunity in keeping with our congregational tradition. A special meeting of members is called today at 12 noon, immediately following this service, to vote on the recommendation to call Brent Damro to serve as our executive assistant minister. We ask that members remain in place after the postlude and a quick stretch, so that we can begin our meeting quickly. In the United Church of Christ, we do not have bishops who appoint our ministers. Instead, a group of dedicated lay people and clergy meet throughout the conference, as well as in our local church, to review ministers and do background checks and reference checks and educational requirements. And then our committee here at Old South, led by the Holy Spirit, present one candidate to the congregation for the members of Old South to vote. We strongly encourage you to remain, to exercise this divine right within you. Coffee and refreshments will be served in the chapel directly across the hall from the sanctuary for friends and guests who are waiting during the vote. You will all be able to join your friends in the chapel after the vote. Now let us continue worshiping God with our whole hearts as the choir leads us. You'll find notes on today's music in your bulletins. Let us worship God.
Yeah. Listen now for the gospel in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our parent and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and parent your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What is it about getting a letter from a loved one that always makes for a special occasion? I don't have the exact answer for that question, but I do know this. Every time I write my mom, which is not nearly as often as it should be, I know this. My phone will ring about 15 minutes after that letter hits her mailbox, and her voice will be brimming with joy. I know that when John asked me if we got any mail today, I know he is not asking about the bills, circulars, or catalogs that do come every day. He is asking whether or not we got a letter from friends or family. My grandmother kept a diary every single day of her adult life. After she died, she gave those diaries to my sister to read them and compile for the family. And one thing that my sister noticed was how often those daily entries led off with news that a letter came and how that made her day. I remember that my grandmother would say that the only thing better than getting a letter was having one of us coming home to share the news in person. When that letter that Michael read arrived at the church in Thessalonica, it was a very special occasion. That letter, you see, is far from an ordinary letter. It is quite possibly the first letter that Paul wrote to any of the churches he worked with, and very likely the oldest piece of writing in the entire New Testament. But that is not what made it a special occasion. What made it special is who it came from and what it said. When he left them, Paul said that he would write. As he left Thessalonica, he reminded them of all they had been through together, how hard he had pushed them. Day and night, the story goes. How he had revealed a God to them that took their breath away. How he inspired them to live lives in imitation of Christ. Lives that matter. Lives worthy of God. As he left, he looked them in the eye and said that he would write. And that letter, it had finally arrived. And you gotta believe that within 15 minutes of it getting to them, word had spread. So everyone got together, crowding into a room very much like this one. Well, okay, it was quite a bit smaller. It did not have that gorgeous stained glass. Wood carvings, stencil painted walls, no vaulted ceilings or cupola, and it certainly did not have that magnificent choir or organ. But in all the important ways, that room was very much like this one. The room was filled with the Holy Spirit, music wafted through the air, and the room was packed. Packed with sisters and brothers trying their best to live faithful lives, lives worthy of God and of each other. Together, they listened to those amazing words you heard read again here this morning. How Paul gave thanks to God for them. How he remembered their works of faith, their labors of love, and their steadfast hope. Words that told them what they are doing matters. And can't you see it? As the people in that room listened, their spirits lifted, their faces filled with joys, their eyes with tears, and maybe even a bit of healthy pride snuck in about their job well done. They felt loved. He said that he would write. And while, like my grandmother, those Thessalonians would have rather had Paul come in person. When that letter came, they cherished it. I want each of you to think for just a moment about a letter from a loved one that you received, one that lifted you up. Think now for just a moment about a letter you cherish. What did you do with that letter? We know what the Thessalonians did. After reading that letter, history tells us they saved it. They tucked it away. And me? Well, I agree with them. I keep those letters. I love them. I keep so many of them, in fact, that my husband, as a wedding present, refinished an entire steamer trunk from 1865 just so that I would have a place to put them all, to safely tuck them away. But here's the thing that I have learned, the same thing those Thessalonians clearly learned, and the thing I hope we take with us today. Those letters are not meant to stay in that trunk or safely tucked away anywhere. They are meant to be brought out and read, not just to lift us up or stoke our pride, but to remind us what is important and who we are called to be. That letter Paul wrote, it got brought out by the Thessalonians time and time again. It got shared with new members of that church who hadn't heard it before, so that they knew all about this family they were joining. So that they remembered the legacy of those who had come before them, not as a prideful thing, but an inspiring one. Together, they reminded themselves, old and new alike, about how the Spirit moved their forebears to do amazing things, and their spirits they lifted, their faces they filled with joy. Because reading this letter wasn't just about highlighting a wonderful past. No, they read this letter again and again to remind themselves to listen for the Spirit in their own time, to find the spotlight shining down on the path before them, so that they too might become beacons of the Word of God, examples for others to follow, people about whom letters might be written. Over the years, here at Old South, we have received letters that we have cherished and tucked away too. And so, as we gather here, crowded into this room, brothers and sisters with the Spirit moving through us, it is only right that we read them, bring them out and read them again. Like the one from Catherine, a marathon runner from Minneapolis. She came to this place and felt so moved by worship and the extravagant welcome that she went home and shared the story with everyone that she knew. She wrote to us about how sometime later, a teary-eyed friend she had told came up to her and told her about how he is gay, and even though he goes to church each and every week, he never feels welcome. How he dreams of the day he might find a place like this one. Or the one from the retired couple in California who wrote, "We have never experienced as meaningful a worship as we did at Old South last Easter." Or the couple from Toronto, who, after hearing a sermon by Quinn, felt that God had sent him as an angel to them on that day. It's what they said. Or, friends, that cherished message that was, like my grandmother said, even better than a letter, because it was delivered in person just 4 weeks ago here in this very room, packed with the Spirit. The message, you might remember, came from Linda Burston, a Women's Lunch Place employee, who, in the words of Paul, has dealt with more than her fair share of persecution, and yet has become a beacon of God's great love herself. She, in the most heartfelt and emotional way, thanked this church for taking that great program in when they needed a temporary home this summer, and when, as she said, no other church in Boston would. She thanked us for treating God's beloved daughters, as she said in these very words, with a lot of dignity, with a lot of honor, and with a lot of respect, even in their most insane moments. How the volunteers and the staff of this church, rather than judging, welcomed the women with open arms. She thanked us for being imitators of Christ and making a difference. Letters that bring a tear, that make us smile and fill us with joy. Letters that tell us what we are doing does matter. Here today, we bring out letters and read them so that those who have not heard them before know our story. And so that Jim, Rebecca, Brent, Edwin, and Katie can learn about this family they are joining. We bring out our cherished letters, and together we share that story, old and new alike, not to boast, but to remember. Not to praise ourselves, but to give thanks that the Spirit has been and still is moving in this place too. Not just to highlight our great past, but to shine that spotlight on the future God has in mind for us. To help us think about who else needs a welcome. To inspire us to think about how to extend sanctuary to the countless other women's lunch places that have no home. To not just live on the shoulders of those who have come before, but to live into that vision that God has placed before us. And so, good friends, brothers and sisters, the questions before us today are the very same ones Paul put to the Thessalonians right before he left. How will we live lives worthy of God? How will we in this room really and truly become a family? How might we work long hours, night and day, to spread the word of God in hopes that someday others who walk through these doors will write letters? Letters that in turn will be read in a place brimming with the Holy Spirit and filled with sisters and brothers. Letters that will tell the story about how that same Spirit has moved us to use our simple lives to spread the good news of Christ far and wide. May God bless this family, our work together, and our lives, that when they do, what they see in us will be worthy of the God who takes our breath away. And it will be a very special occasion indeed. Amen.
may be seated. And I invite forward at this time, you can't be seated, Jim, Becca, Brent, Ed, Katie May, and leading them is Robin Briggs, representing the Board of Ministers and Deacons, these who have come this day to own the covenant of Old South Church in Boston. You'll find in your bulletins the litany of intent. I invite you to join with us now. Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. These people before us have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ.
They are here, as we are here, to endeavor to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. God help us.
They are here, as we are here, to endeavor to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God help us.
Friends who are joining, Katie May, Ed, Jim, Brent, Becca, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place.
We give you thanks for every community of faith, which has been your spiritual home. We celebrate your presence in this household of faith.
Jim, Becca, Ed, Brent, Katie, do you promise by the grace of God to continue in your pilgrimage of faith, to be Christ's disciple, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able?
Friends, we who are able now rise to welcome you as partners in the common life of this church and share our covenant of mission with you. I do now, in the presence of God and before this assembly, give myself to the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, as the God in whose love I am grounded and whose realm I serve. To Jesus Christ, God incarnate, to whom I surrender and who rules my life. To God the Holy Spirit, as the one who sustains, recreates, and guides me. I will share God's everlasting covenant by loving and living responsibly in communion with this one God. And I do furthermore engage to walk with my brothers and sisters in the wider church and the Old South Church, securing God's grace, prepared in gratitude to live by the promise and serve in the hope of the gospel.
In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of Old South Church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church.
Thank you.
God be with you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let us pray. O gracious God, O eternity of mercy, O immensity of grace. We come before you today bold to ask for what we need, bold even to ask for what we want. God, we come before you today to ask for a reputation. As Paul heard rumors about the Thessalonians, let the world hear rumors about the people in this place, and let them be rumors of peace and bravery and gentleness. Let them be rumors of faithfulness, God, and let them be true. Make us the kind of church that people talk about, not for our own sake, but for yours. Make us lions for justice so that people will know that you are just. Teach us to stand up to the strong so people will know that you love the weak. Teach us to stand up to nations or corporations who oppress those they are to serve. And to the rich who will not call the poor their sisters, and to those with guns in their hands who claim that they are right. God, let them say of us that we, who for almost 350 years have occupied Boston for righteousness and equality and freedom, let them say of us that we did not fail to pray for all who refuse to accept that the way things are is the way they ought to be. All who struggle for justice, all who camp out to build a better world. Let them say that we did not ignore the starving in Africa, or the homeless in Boston, or the suffering in our own midst. Let them say that we poured our money and our hearts and our lives out for those who needed to be filled. Let them say that we were generous in every way, and let them praise your name because of it. Let there be rumors about us in the world, God. Let them say that when Jim and Becca and Brent and Ed and Katie and those who joined on Thursday and those who joined earlier this morning, let them say that when they came to us wanting to know you better, we did not disappoint. Let them say that when the time came to decide whether you were calling Brent Damrow to serve here, we listened hard for your spirit and we did what she said. Let them say it and let it be true. Let them say that we opened our doors to the city, to travelers from near and far, that they found shelter in this place, and that we prayed with them. That we prayed with the ones who knew just what to say and the ones whose words were mumbled and jumbled by confusion or illness. Let them say we prayed with the ones who just came and sat silent and safe. Let them say of us that we know how to take care of our own. That when George, Thomas, Charlotte, Margot, Shirley, Jerry, Eric, Peter, Gwen, Mark, and Craig needed us, let them say that we were there. And let too the rumor be that we prayed for the repose of Theani's soul, and that we prayed for all who love her. God, we come before you today bold to ask, give us a rep, and let it be yours. And hear us now as we pray in the silence.
Come close, God, and hear us as we pour out the best, the most beautiful words we know, the ones that your Son taught us. Hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We are saints, you and I. We are saints in light, all blessed, all consecrated, sent by God to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. Come. Come walk in that light. Come walk as companions to those who often walk in the shadows. As saints, we walk arm in arm, brothers and sisters, driven by God's vision for creation. Walk with me. Walk with me as together we will share our gifts of time, of talent, and of treasure, and become companions for all of those we meet on the way. The morning offering will now be given and received. blessing and abundance. We offer you these gifts with humility and gratitude. Accept them and multiply them. Help us to build the world as you intended it to be, full of mercy, full of peace, and full of grace. We offer these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, our word, our time of worship here in this room is drawing to an end so that our worship of God beyond these walls might begin anew. And as you go, I send you out in peace with the same blessing that Paul used to close virtually every one of his letters, including that letter to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this day and every day. And let the people say, Amen. Amen.